You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
And welcome everybody to the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday night, November the 30th, and we are now post-Thanksgiving and officially into the Christmas season. And yes, we do say Merry Christmas here in the Political Cesspool. You won't find any of that Happy Holidays nonsense on this radio program. And as a matter of fact, we actually have a little Christmas decoration, a wooden plaque that we hang up every December in my home that says, we say Merry Christmas. Who would have thought that things would have deteriorated to the point where that was actually a dissenting political statement? But I tell you what, folks, I come into the studio tonight so happy as I've been in quite a while, so hopeful. There's just something spiritual about this season, the season in which we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You just have faith that things will be okay, that we are going to be okay. I love this season. I love this time of year. The time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is second to none. I had a great Thanksgiving, by the way. This week, my wife's sister was in town with my niece and nephew. Looking forward to Christmas dinner, but we haven't had that yet. We had Thanksgiving dinner at my house. My parents came over. My brother, of course, my wife and daughter were there. My wife just cooked the most incredible meal. And here I am tonight with my extended family and the listening audience. I am so happy to be able to come to you tonight as we continue the fight, the good fight on behalf of our people without retreat, surrender, or apology. Keith Alexander now walking into the studio as we broadcast to you this evening. We're going to be playing Christmas music for every show between now and Christmas. And just join into the spirit of the season with us, folks. This is a time that is wholly European and certainly a time of year that all Christians should celebrate, and we will. Keith, I talked about spending time with family at Thanksgiving. I know you did as well. And we had the opportunity to spend time together, Keith, on Friday for a little lunch. And I want to read an email here that comes from another member of our extended family in the listening audience. We won't give away his name or location, but I got this email, folks, on Friday night. Thanksgiving night I got it. It was Thanksgiving night. Comes from a listener, and he writes, James, I'm actually in Memphis visiting the in-laws today and tomorrow. Drove in from wherever he was, we won't give away the location, late last night. Have not seen you since we met in 2009 at the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference in Jackson, Mississippi. That meeting was life-changing for me. I remember we had lunch, and I instantly knew that I was with someone who understood my core beliefs and fears for the future better than my own family. Since that time, I've made it a point to contribute what I can each quarterly fundraiser. It goes without saying that I have not missed a show since 2009. For 4 years, Keith, he's never missed a show. If there's any way you could make time in your schedule to say hello, it would be very special to me. Know this, James. There are millions of people out here like us, the world over, who look to men like you as leaders and as a reason to have hope for the future of our children. I personally appreciate the tremendous sacrifice that you have made and continue to make in speaking out publicly and courageously on our behalf. May God continue to bless you and yours and the entire Political Cesspool family. Keith, that comes from a listener who obviously has been a part of our audience now for 4 years. He drove up and was in the Memphis area for this Thanksgiving weekend. You and I got that email, and in that email, he included his name and telephone number. I called him up just minutes after receiving the email and set up a lunch with him on Friday. You joined us for that lunch. And let me tell you something, folks. We talk about this a lot because it can't be overstated, and you can't really emphasize it enough. The caliber of our listening audience, I won't give away this guy's name or where he's from. He's about a 7-hour drive from Memphis. He's a doctor. And I would imagine him to be in his 60s. Keith, would you say? He was very smartly dressed, well-educated, professional, articulate, well-spoken, a Christian gentleman, a Southerner. That is our audience. Now, certainly, they don't all have to be Southerners, and they don't even have to all be Christians. But our audience is well-spoken, articulate, tax-paying, law-abiding citizens. Compare productive citizens, productive members of society. Compare and contrast. Keith, tell the audience here, before we go to this commercial break and dive into the meat of the matter for this evening, compare and contrast the perception that the media would give to our audience versus that which we saw embodied in this gentleman on Friday at lunch.
I'll say this. Almost everyone that I've met that is involved in paleoconservative politics or in the movement, as some people call it, fits the description that James just gave of our guest over the weekend. On the other hand, the people that are opposed to us, the people that make death threats anonymously to hotels where paleoconservative speakers are trying to assemble with their followers, those people are the real knuckle-dragging troglodytes, which is the way they try to portray all conservatives, particularly on matters of race and Jewish power and influence. On the other hand, the Antifa people, which tend to be the people that are opposed to us and make these death threats, constantly protest at our meetings, they're the people that haven't bathed in a month. They're the people that look like they've slept on a park bench. They're the people with rat tails in their beards, that are uncouth, ill-mannered, and dressed like street people. They are, that, in other words, the news media's portrayals couldn't be further from the truth. They're 180 degrees different from what reality is.
And Keith, with that being said, I want to thank again the gentleman who was up in Memphis this week, who we were able to break bread with on Friday. And by the way, folks, our fourth quarter fundraising drive kicked off on Thanksgiving Day, and this fellow we've been talking about so much in this opening segment made the first contribution of that fundraising drive at that lunch on Friday, and we thank him for his benevolence, and we thank him for his support. And I tell you, to do the work that we do, Keith, is something that is just in us. It's our duty. But to have it be well-received from the caliber of audience that we have, and it's an ever-growing audience, a top 10 audience on Saturday night, every time I meet a member of our political cesspool audience, I'm blown away at the high caliber that they are. And we love you, folks. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get into some busy business tonight.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks, but it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Does that inspire you to stand up in defense of our people and our culture, the culture that created such beauty? Nothing will. And if that doesn't just send chills down your spine, there is something wrong with you. I know not everybody is in a position to be out front like Keith and I and Eddie and this program and this network, but and I respect and appreciate that. But if you're not in a position to be out front, support those who are. but listen, I love Christmas. The only thing about Christmas that causes me some consternation is the war against Christmas that is furiously raging now. It's a war that's heating up now that the calendar has turned to December, and we're going to be keeping track of it here, the latest attacks being waged against the faith of our fathers. Conservatives, or respectable conservatives, as we like to call them, will decry this war as an attack on Christianity, which it certainly is, but it's a lot more than that. It's an attack on white people. Christianity is under constant assault because it's the religion that nearly every white person used to identify with, and the vast majority still do. Christmas is under assault because white people are under assault. It's why manger scenes are banned on government property, but menorahs are everywhere. It's the same reason you can't even mention the Bible in most schools, but there are public and charter schools all over the country teaching Islam and the ridiculous Kwanzaa. Those religions are fine because they're non-white religions.
We're almost to the point where white people will have no holidays at all to honor their heroes. Washington's birthday, or President's Day, can't last much longer in this political climate because, as we all know, or as, at least as we're told, Washington was nothing more than an evil slave owner. And up until JFK, just about every president, they say, was an unabashed racist. Columbus Day, a day we certainly celebrate and talk about every year in October. It's denounced more and more as a day that honors nothing more than a genocidal monster. Independence Day? Well, why should we celebrate a country that enslaved millions of blacks and massacred the Indians, where segregation was legal until the 1960s and gay marriage is still outlawed in most states? Thanksgiving? Not only is it associated with Christianity, which is increasingly seen as evil, it also celebrates the early settlers who went on to genocide the Indians and enslave the blacks. That's what they tell us. I mean, nothing good ever came from the people who carved this nation from wilderness, just genocide. That's what they say. Memorial Day and Veterans Day, why honor those evil haters who fought for the genocidal nation and died in the name of segregation and homophobia? You know, really, as far as the media is concerned, the only days we should really be observing are Cinco de Mayo, Martin Luther King Day, Juneteenth, Harvey Milk Day, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, and Holocaust Awareness Day. Those who are always attacking public Christmas displays, any public expressions of Christianity, and any reverence to this nation's Christian heritage, also hate everything else that decent Americans believe in. They're the same people who want to take your guns away, NRA members. And they're the same people who call anyone who opposes gay marriage a hater and a bigot. It's the same crowd who refer to Christian groups like Focus on the Family and the American Family Association as hate mongers and hate group leaders for their opposition to homosexuality. It's the same bunch who keep hounding the Boy Scouts because they won't allow perverts to be scoutmasters. Rest assured, if you hold any conservative views whatsoever on any topic, the establishment, the media, they hate you too. They hate evangelicals just as much as they hate racial conservatives. Our fight is your fight. And you'd better wake up and join the battle and join us before it's too late. And Keith, I think the purpose of me saying that is that there is no quarter to be found for those in America who have any conservative tendencies whatsoever. They will soon join us in the gulags, whether they want to or not. And the sooner they realize that, the sooner we will all band together and dismiss these ridiculous and silly criticisms that we receive and fight to reclaim America's destiny. We need mainstream conservatives joining us. We're not the bad guys. Those who oppose us are.
The greatest error that mainstream conservatives make, James, is that they give a pass to the civil rights movement. They don't see that the civil rights movement was just the first of a series of radical egalitarian movements meant to destroy traditional Western culture. We see that clearly, but we're a voice in the wilderness. You know, what you hear basically is the result of Jewish power and influence and cultural Marxism taking over virtually every institution in Western civilization, in Europe and America, Australia, New Zealand, that sets moral or ethical values. Everything from the charities that we contribute money to the churches we attend, to the schools we attend, to our own military, which is now eaten up with political correctness and favors non-whites over whites and gives non-whites admission preference to service academies like Annapolis, West Point, and the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Now, why do they attack the founders of our nation? Why do they find nothing good to say about the principles that they espoused and upon which our nation is founded? Well, when you understand what we understand, it's very simple. None of the founding fathers was Jewish, so therefore they couldn't have been very smart in the eyes of the Jewish controllers of our culture. And therefore, they need to be vilified, and they need to have their ideas replaced by the ideas of wise technocrats like the Jewish masters, Freud, Marx, and all the rest of the poisonous crew that has intended to bring down Western civilization and is doing a remarkably good job on it. Now, this is just what, you know, for example, Jews are 1.7% of the U.S. population. But based on the coverage of Hanukkah that you saw in the Communist Appeal, our affectionate nickname for the Commercial Appeal, the daily newspaper here in Memphis, you'd think they were at least 50% of the population and maybe more. Why does everyone get their background and their culture and their race celebrated except for white Gentiles? People better wake up and smell the coffee, and all of these mainstream conservatives had better understand that united we stand, divided we fall, and you better be opposed to all of the liberal agenda. They're coming after you as Leon Trotsky, the Jewish Bolshevik leader in the Russian Revolution, said so appropriately. You may not be interested in the revolution, but the revolution is interested in you. And if you allow us to be sent to the gulag, we'll be there as a welcoming committee when they send you there as well.
Undoubtedly, we'll be the first to go, Keith. I think me and you will lay down the welcome mat for those to follow. But let's hope it doesn't get there, folks. And it's a shame that defending the name of Christmas has become almost a radical notion. I would rather someone, you know, to me, I was listening to the station in Memphis that plays all the Christmas music on the way to our studio tonight, and they said Happy Holidays. I mean, to me, this is like blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. We got to take a break. We're going to talk more about this when we come back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay.
Love it, folks. I love it. God help me. I love it. I'm just, you know what I am, folks. I'm just a racist neo-Nazi that loves Jesus Christ, that I love this time of year, and I love Christmas. And, you know, and I take offense at the happy holidays. You know, what holidays are there between Christmas and December 25th, except for Christmas? Certainly no legitimate holidays. I mean, there are a couple of made-up ones. And, you know, and the thing is, I wouldn't go to sub-Saharan Africa and force Christmas on, I don't even think they don't celebrate Kwanzaa there, of course, but I'm just saying if they did, I wouldn't force Christmas on them. I wouldn't go to Israel and force Christmas on those people. But here's the thing, you know, about the happy holidays versus Merry Christmas debate. Respectable conservatives love to blame Muslims for just about everything, including the war on Christmas. And it's just ridiculous. Companies, cities, and organizations started replacing references to Christmas decades ago. And it wasn't to placate Muslims. It was to placate Jewish sensibilities, because saying Merry Christmas supposedly ignored the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. But the little-known fact, folks, the fact of the matter that you'll only receive on the political cesspool is that National Public Radio informed us a couple of years back that Hanukkah, like the ridiculous Kwanzaa, is pretty much a completely made-up holiday. Kwanzaa was invented in California in the 1960s, and Hanukkah was invented in Cincinnati around 1870. And again, my source for this is National Public Radio, so anybody offended by this, you can take it up with them. I'm going to toss it over to Keith, but here's what NPR says. There's nearly no record of people celebrating Hanukkah just a couple of centuries ago. It began to be an important Jewish holiday in the second half of the 19th century when two rabbis in Cincinnati noticed their Jewish children didn't have much connection to the synagogue. The rabbis developed a new celebration for children during Hanukkah that was held in the synagogue and included giving presents. National newspapers publicized the new celebration, and it was soon being celebrated all around the country. They didn't see Christmas as something they could do easily because it's Christian, but they did want to do something like that because it was American, says Diane Ashton. Professor of American Studies at Rowan University in New Jersey. So, again, to each their own, but this is America, and America was intended to be a Christian nation. I don't care what they say, and for what it's worth, we say Merry Christmas here in the political cesspool. And the thing about it is, Keith, you know, I appreciate our Jewish listeners. God bless both of y'all. I appreciate our Jewish listeners as much as anyone, and those who contribute, and there are some who do. But I'm not going to compromise my positions to placate any sensibilities. And if we have listeners in the Jewish community who can appreciate our stand on that for what it is, I'll appreciate their stand. I'll say happy Hanukkah to a Jewish person if they would like me to. But this is not the
precedent that this country should be taking. This is a Christian country, it's a European country, and it should remain as such. I don't want to subvert any other country of its ethnic identity or its religious identity, and I don't appreciate it being done here.
Well, you said to each his own, James, but unfortunately it's a game where heads I win, tails you lose are the operative rules. Every other nation is allowed to have its religious majority and its racial majority set its culture. Don't go to Israel and try to be an outspoken Christian. For heaven's sake, don't do what your religion tells you to do and proselytize and try to win souls for Christ over there. If you want to be summarily booted out of the country, that's probably the surest and fastest way to do it. You know, Jews are 1.7% of the population of the United States, but unfortunately they wield an incredible amount of power and influence because they're incredibly wealthy and they network. We have the right to have our own culture that reflects our heritage, our religion, and make no mistake about it, Christianity is the religion of white people. That's the way it's perceived throughout the world. In fact, that's the reason there is such a group today as the Black Muslims. They did not want to be associated with Christianity, which they saw, and rightly so, as a white man's religion. You know, all of these other religions that are supposedly celebrated and we're so solicitous about when we say happy holidays rather than Merry Christmas, like I said, 1.7 out of over 300 million Americans, only 1.7% of those people are Jews. Furthermore, Kwanzaa is probably the least celebrated holiday anywhere. The black community has not embraced it, despite what the mainstream media would have you believe. Most blacks are Christians. If you went to sub-Saharan Africa and tried to celebrate Kwanzaa, they'd boot you out because most of the people in sub-Saharan Africa are Christians. There's a great battle going on between Christians and Muslims down there, but Christians are, you know, most of the blacks in sub-Saharan Africa are Christians. So this is just a way not to help Jews, not to help blacks, not to help other racial minorities or religious minorities. It's a way to hamper, harm, and ultimately destroy white Gentiles. That's what you need to understand about all of liberalism. Liberalism is not benevolent, it's malevolent, and it's based on envy and resentment, James.
And just to accentuate the point, Keith, as you know, there cannot be a manger scene displayed celebrating the birth, the nativity of Jesus Christ. That can't be displayed on the White House lawn. However, there's a menorah there, or at least it was there in recent years. I'm sure it'll be there again. It may already be there now. I don't want to speak out of hand because I haven't seen it yet this year, but it's so big, I mean, a crane would have to put it together. But in the meantime, congressmen can't even say Merry Christmas in letters to their constituents if they want it to be paid for with tax dollars. Members of Congress who submitted official mailings for review by the Congressional Franking Commission that reviews all congressional mail to determine if it can be franked, or in other words, paid for with tax dollars, are being told no holiday greetings that include the phrase Merry Christmas can be sent in official mail. Now, don't we all feel that America is a better place, Keith, because such rules exist? Congressmen may not be able to say Merry Christmas, not that many of them would for fear of offending certain people, but even if they wanted to, they can't unless they pay for it out of their own pocket. Meanwhile, on the White House lawn, at least in recent years, and you see the picture here, Keith, of a YouTube video that shows the big menorah on the White House lawn, it's got to be 20 stories high. That's all well and good.
Well, Obama obviously knows who's buttering his bread. He knows who the golden goose is laying the golden eggs for him and the Democratic Party generally. Now, we were talking before about Christianity being identified almost universally as a white man's religion. You know, during most of the two millennia that Christianity has existed, the alternative name for Europe has been Christendom. In other words, the Christian part of the world. Any people outside of Europe that are adherents of the Christian faith adhere to the Christian faith because it was brought to them by European or white missionaries, European, you know, descendants of Europeans or Europeans themselves. This is why Christmas is being attacked. It's being attacked. It's an oblique attack on white people. Anything that is identifiable with white people is automatically bad and needs to be destroyed. You know, it's time that people, like I said, wake up and smell the coffee and realize what's really animating all of this liberalism that we find so offensive. And again, just like James Carville said in the 1992 presidential race, it's the government stupid. I mean, it's the economy stupid. We need to tell people loud and clear it's race stupid. The reason Christmas is under attack is racial, and it's anti-white animus, pure and simple.
Well, folks, that being said, we will keep track on as many stories as we can find. Certainly, we want to spend the bulk of December, and I know we're not even quite there yet with this being November 30th, but we want to spend the bulk of December celebrating Jesus Christ, celebrating Christianity, what it's meant for our people. But we will also be keeping track of the small-town parades that can't be called the Christmas parade anymore because one or two people in the entire town had a problem with it. And if you see stories like that, send them to us, James Edwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org, and we'll work them into the program. We're going to take a break and shift gears when we come back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Wise up, load up at FreezeDryGuy.com. Now is the time to get the freeze-dried meats, fruits, and vegetables you want from Wise, on sale at FreezeDryGuy.com. This delicious, nutritious food is perfect for your emergency preparedness or outdoor recreational needs. It's the food with a 25-year shelf life you see exclusively featured on the popular Doomsday Preppers TV show. It's the same quality line of food the lovely Marie Osmond has been touting all across America. It's the wise investment in your family's future that personal finance expert and radio host Dave Ramsey has been talking about. And it's on sale now through Cyber Monday, December 2nd at FreezeDryGuy.com. So wise up, shop online now or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Make the wise food choice. It's easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and easy to buy on sale now at FreezeDryGuy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day.
to save us all from Satan's power, and we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Love it, love it, love it. Merry Christmas, everybody. I've been, you know, Thanksgiving fell late this year, so we had to wait a couple of extra days to start that Christmas music. And we're going to be playing that at the top of each segment between now and that holy day on December 25th. So for the next, I guess, three or four weeks, we're going to be hearing a lot of Christmas music on the Political Cesspool, which is a great contrast to the the stuff you're going to be hearing in between the segments. Unfortunately, all of that which we'll be covering during the radio portion of our programs won't be quite as uplifting as the music we'll be playing, but hopefully it'll temper, at the very least, that which we'll have to bring to your attention. And of course, Keith, we will too be celebrating the season that is Christmas. We've been talking about it extensively here the first hour, the first program post-Thanksgiving, and we are going into the Christmas season, and folks, it's so special. You know, enjoy this time with your family. Celebrate the faith of our fathers. It's, you know, I'm telling you, folks, there's something worth preserving here, and we're fighting on its behalf. Let's now go to Peter Scoop Stanton, our intrepid correspondent there in the Washington, D.C. area. Scoop, happy couple of days after Thanksgiving, and an early Merry Christmas to you, and Happy Hanukkah to you, too. And Kwanzaa.
Happy Christmas, Thanksgiving, and that other holiday to you, Mr. Edwards and Mr. Alexander and Mr. Bushman.
Yep, you can't ever forget Sam, who is like the Wizard of Oz working behind the scenes. He really controls it all. And, you know, we got to talk to Sam in December as we celebrate family. I mean, Sam's certainly among that, if anybody is. And, Scoop, you sent us a story. You said it's a story I want to cover. I don't know. I want to share with the audience a dirty little secret. Keith and I normally meet, normally, not always, but normally meet during the week to chart a course for the program on Saturday night. Now, we're always unrehearsed, but we normally have some semblance of an agenda, or at least an idea of what we'll be covering. We came in here tonight with it being Thanksgiving week, and it wasn't a normal week. We came in tonight not having a single item on the agenda to discuss. We came here tonight completely freewheeling. And so that being said, I have no idea what Scoop wants to cover either. But I want you, Scoop, to first cover the story you sent me, which was featured on the blog this week. Scratch that. Maybe that'll be... Yeah, no, actually, November 26th it was featured. The mayor-elect of New York City is getting policing advice from ex-convicts. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, as we all know, Mayor Bill de Blasio is the mayor-elect of the city of New York. And it's Mr. de Blasio's agenda to bring New York back to the great year of 1977. So his,
which was a good year for the Portland Trailblazers. It was 3 years shy of my birth, but Portland's one and only championship was won in 77. So,
right.
And I'm a Portland fan, if anybody doesn't get the joke there. But anyway, go on, Scoop, with important matters.
So somebody from the mayor-elect transition team decided to hold a town hall or a think tank, what have you, of not law enforcement types, not military types, not people that worked under Mayor Giuliani to fight crime, or Mayor Bloomberg, or any of the police commissioners, but your local degenerate criminal punk thug gangbanger, and just all-around menace to society. And as the person from the mayor-elect's transition team sitting there listening to all these people who we'd be better off without, their complaint is that the cops are harassing them. Why are they harassing them? because they're out there doing things that draw attention to themselves.
Yeah, well, like committing committing crimes. I've got to quickly just read a passage from the story which you sent, Scoop, and which was featured on the blog this week. It comes from the New York Post, and it reads that a group of 50 ex-cons, junkies, and chronic vagrants, sounds like downtown Memphis, Keith, gathered at a Manhattan, or City Hall, yes, in Memphis, gathered at a Manhattan think tank Thursday to describe what they thought the New York Police Department should be doing to make their lives easier. The felonist forum outlined a clear get soft on crime vision. I like the idea of ending stop and frisk. That was the first thing that was totally there for me, said McGill Greengrand, a 49-year-old former jailbird who has convictions for larceny and identity theft. Arthur Castillo, 38, who has been convicted for possessing stolen property and assault, said he would be much obliged if the cops just left him alone. Cops won't leave us alone, he said. Newly released prisoners are watched by the police, and a lot of us don't feel like we have an opportunity to readapt to normal life, which would be a criminal lifestyle, I guess, because we are treated as criminals. And it just goes on and on. But, I mean, here's the thing. Here's another passage that just can't go unmentioned. Bloomberg forgot about us. I'm hoping de Blasio remembers us, said Coco Cruz, who was convicted of first-degree manslaughter, robbery, kidnapping, and criminal possession of a weapon. And it just goes on and on. The mayor is actively soliciting the advice of this element of society. I mean, I guess what else could you expect from a guy like de Blasio? But the truth is stranger than fiction, Scoop. Another word from you, and then we're going to toss it over to Keith. Take it away, Scoop.
Well, it gets even better now that the City of New York Police Department has sent letters out to those city residents that lawfully own shotguns and rifles, telling them to turn them in. And I don't know if this is under Mayor Bloomberg or Mayor-elect de Blasio, but the mayor-elect is about to get soft on crime, and the police department is telling its law-abiding citizens, turn in your lawfully registered, lawfully purchased, lawfully possessed shotguns and rifles. I mean, I guess de Blasio and Bloomberg wants to turn New York into New Orleans pre-Katrina. Back to you in the studio.
Well, Peter, this is Keith Alexander, and I've got one question for you. Are you the only sane person left in New York City? You know, if it named 10, I guess, you know, the Lord asked Lot to name 10 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah, and if he did, then he would spare the city. Well, that's what I'm asking you for now. What has happened? Is there a mass psychosis that has gripped New York to elect somebody like this fruitcake? And they keep electing people like this, and they also see themselves as the natural leaders of thought and culture in the United States. And they get offended when people here in Red State America beg to differ with them and defer the invitation to join them in their psychosis. What's happening up there, buddy?
Well, what's happening is that New York hasn't had a mayor elected from the Democratic Party since 1989. And this is history repeating itself, because after World War One, the U.S. was having just a gay old time with bootlegging and party and things like that. So all these New Yorkers don't forget what it was like pre-1993 when Rudy Giuliani took over office. And so now the city of New York is going to be in for a rude awakening come January 2014.
Well, every time I hear your report from New York City, it makes me glad that I'm in Red State America, and it also makes me more and more convinced that secession was a great idea back in 1860, and it's probably even a better idea today. When we do secede, or when we do separate, or however you want to describe it, Scoop, come on down. We'll find a place for you down here, because I know that you are a pilgrim in the wilderness up there in New York City.
Well, I moved from the city of New York to Washington, D.C., and unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of ex-New Yorkers, because they voted Democrat all their life. Their dads and granddads voted Democrat all their life. And so then they voted themselves out of a decent way of life. So now they're down here in Washington. And
they're contaminating red state America, the former red state of Virginia. What you need, I think, as a precondition to anyone moving from New York City to a sane area of the world is submitting to about a six-month course of shock treatments. What do you say?
I don't know, but these people got to realize if it didn't work up in New York, it's not going to work in Virginia, North or South Carolina. It's not going to work in Tennessee, Kentucky, Texas, or Arizona. It didn't work in California. It didn't work in Illinois. It didn't work in Michigan. Michigan decided to turn it around, make itself a right-to-work state, and they're trying to fix things in Michigan. But they're all coming down here and ruining the Mason-Dixon line.
Scoop, thanks for your contributions tonight to the show, as always. God bless you, brother. We'll talk to you next week. For the rest of you, we'll be back with the second and third hour, respectively, right after this.
There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.